And let me welcome all of you present in the meeting, and then corresponding to this scheduled meeting, of course, given the changes that were effected on our program by the circumstances beyond our control. And I want to indicate from the chair that the purpose of the meeting today is a consideration of the negotiating mandate on Division of Revenue Amendment here. Members will recall that Section 12, subsection 4 of the money bill requires that the Minister of Finance to table the Division of Revenue Amendment bill with the revised fiscal framework if the adjusted budget table to relate to the effect changes the Division of Revenue Act for the 11th year. Further, the Mandating Procedures Act provides that legislative mandates for negotiating and voting mandates are required with respect of bills referred to in subsection 74, in section 74, subsection B, and section 76 of the Constitution. The purpose of this meeting, therefore, is to consider these negotiating mandates from provinces required by the Mandating Procedures Act. The Act provides that provincial legislature must confer authority on each provincial delegation to them. The NUP to cast a vote when the relevant NUP selectively considered the bill prior to voting thereon in the NUP plenary. Now, it is expected that the committee will convene again to consider final mandates, which is not the case now. We're dealing with negotiating mandates. At the right time, the committee will convene to deal with the final mandate. Now, I want to obviously, one of the issues that we convene this meeting conscious of is that prior to final mandate, we'll have to receive a formal referral of the DORA from the MD table. We're expecting that as soon as it has taken place in the MA, it will be referred to us so that according to the scheduled meeting to conform the required legislative process. So, members, our agenda states apologies, consideration of mandate, and a strategy will allow National Treasury to comment on those specific issues that are arising from provinces in their consideration of the Division of Revenue. So, do we have any apologies? No apologies. The meeting is the full session. It is noted that members are not here, but there is no formal apologies received. Yes. So we don't know whether they will join the meeting. Thanks. And then the next item then is the consideration of the negotiating mandate or the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. And I'll request that we handle them alphabetically. Honorable Isaka, I note your hand.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just before you proceed, Chairperson, I just want to satisfy myself in that, you know, I've been reading up and I've been trying to wrap my mind around the procedures, and I just want to check how are we in terms of conducting the meeting right now. Are we procedurally correct in terms of the fact that the way I understand it and the way I read it is that the issue will only be discussed or dealt with at the NA tomorrow. And then, of course, in terms of legislation, after it is considered in the NA and then passed on to the NCOP, the way I read it is that should there not then be an elapse of 24 hours before the matter can then be tabled here at our meeting now, procedurally and in terms of the money bill matter? I don't understand it very clearly because I'm just getting worried that we might be procedurally incorrect or we might be jumping the gun, I'm not sure. And you know, I recall in our previous meeting when we had a meeting There was also the discussion of the legal opinion, if I'm correct. Or was the legal opinion received, Sir President? I just want to get some guidance. Are we procedurally correct? Was the legal opinion received? Public hearing then should be conducted at what point in time? In terms of the procedure. I'm just trying to get clarity on that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member, for the question. I want to check, is there a question? Any member who wants to raise the matter similar to Honourable Isaac?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good to be back with you. In terms of the ABC of the 4th of November, the revenue, the DORA bill was not tabled with the MCOB. So the question about the CEDA is still hanging. Then, I don't know if you can remember, but Honourable De Beer will remember, that towards the end of last year, when we wanted to, a bill was passed in the NA in the morning, and we wanted to rush it through in the afternoon, and we were told specifically by the chairperson of the NDOP that we may not do that because we haven't got sufficient time for her to process the bill. We know there's a 3-day rule, but it can be waived according to our set of rules. But the chairperson said she cannot rush the thing through the NCOP procedurally from the NA to the NCOP in an afternoon. That's why it was delayed. And then I spoke to, at the Woodbury last week sometime, the chief whip went out of the meeting and Honourable De Beer took the same as the chairpersonship over from her. And I said, and what if? In terms of money bills, and if it is procedurally not followed in terms of 12-11 of the money bills procedures act, then what is happening? So Oliver Deere told me that we will have to get a legal opinion. So I hear my colleague is also talking about the legal opinion, and I need to know where are we with this legal opinion, because the bill is not quite clear on the what if the 9 days are not adhered to. And what if the provinces don't get sufficient time to do what they have to do? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member, for raising the question. I have communicated to provinces as chair to share some challenges regarding the matter. We're expecting that this committee will dealt with the matter as well as at the end of the NDA and defense subsequently. From last week, I shared with provinces the challenges thereof, and I had discussions with the advocate and concerned regarding the matter. With the advocate, I said that there is no material breach regarding this and the process, but however, I think it is fair for members to later on request that this opinion should be circulated to members, just on the interpretation and for ease of reference on interpreting the money bills. The issue of 9 days and slightly outside 9 days, what does it mean? So we can relate to it in that fashion. But procedurally, I have heard out of those discussions that it's fair that we proceed with our reading for negotiating mandates. And however, but for final mandates, we should await the process that will come out of the NDA for referral. But I think a few members will discuss. I have heard you members unless there's a follow-up. I'll allow you for follow-up.
Thank you for that, and I'm glad you actually made contact with Advocate Jenkins, because he is the head of the legal department in Parliament, and he is the man for the money bill. However, we could not get hold of him for the legal opinion. So before we proceed, can we study the legal opinion so that we can make a proper and informed decision as to whether this is legal or not? I have spoken to the chairperson of the NCOP, who said to me she cannot pass a bill onto a province which she hasn't got in her hand. So my question is, where are we going to this? Are we now creating a precedent that a precedent that the next bill that the ruling party wants to rush to, that it's going to be a joint sitting between the two houses, it's going to be rushed to I am very cautious and I need to say we must be very careful. I understand the predicament, but we need a formal legal opinion that we are covered, that we are procedurally correct. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Manager. Now I will open for members to discuss based on the issues that are raised. Honorable, yes.
Chairperson, it is the ATC. When the Minister of Finance tabled an NDVDF, in that ATC, the relevant referrals was done. There was omission in that ATC, and I raised it in the joint meeting on finance regarding the revised fiscal framework. And I sent it back to the Secretary of the NCLP of the default. I raised this point in that meeting of the joint sitting on the two finance committees. So the minute is correct, it will be minuted in that way. Second is our question. The Standing Select Committees on Appropriations dealt jointly with the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. We had briefings in our provinces. Even in my province, we had a briefing a week earlier than scheduled on the NCLP program. Why? To conduct public hearings. To consult the public outside, and it's in the minutes that has been distributed to all of us this afternoon. We had a meeting, public hearing in Okip, in Amakwa, and one in Kimberley. And Mr. Stephen Canyon attended the briefing in Kimberley, and thank you for him for being there. Thank you, Stephen. The negotiating mandates are here. The legal opinion is with the chairperson. I showed this up. We can proceed with this meeting. And it's actually expected of us as the deployee of your columns in this institution to communicate on a daily basis about what's happening here. So my standing committee on finance in the Northern Cape prevent the legislators meeting tomorrow morning 8 o'clock regarding what's happening here today. If there's any hiccups, they will meet later in the day tomorrow. But we stay in constant contact with each other. Because we are an extension of the legislative national sphere. So, Chairperson, I just want to give that vision. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Didier. Honorable Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I think the issue of the referral or the ATC of the process of the Zongan issued correctly, Honorable Didier, because the bill was referred to, or it was tabled and then dealt with by both select committees. So the fact that it's not in the ATC does not negate the fact that we did deal with it at both committees. And I think the issue of the ATC is maybe an administrative issue that we must deal with. But the fact is that the committee did deal with the bill after it was tabled. So that is in accordance with the we governed it on the 4th of November, and Honorable Samir is shaking her head, but I'm not sure why. She was not in the meeting on the 4th of November anyway. So that's the first thing. The second is that there's no provision for 24 hours. So that's new to me. There's no provision of you must wait 24 hours. I think the issue related to how we process that bill was the chairperson of the NCOP's resolutions on how to process it from the morning to the afternoon. But the waiting of the three-day rule, we did last week when we dealt with the fiscal, the revised fiscal framework.
Yes.
So the three-day rule, when you wait it, if it's within hours, I don't think but there's nowhere anywhere that says anything that you have to wait 24 hours. The rule speaks to 3 days. if you waive it, we waive the 3-day rule. The issue here is how we process the final mandate, which is the voting mandate. And final, which is the voting mandate, must follow a process of referral by the NA to the NCOP and then sitting of the legislature to confer final or voting mandate to provincial delegations in the NCOP. And in the absence of that process happening, the negotiating mandate can't, or sorry, the final mandate or the voting mandate can't be considered. So, the order paper of the NA indicates that the bill will be dealt with at 2 o'clock today. And to my knowledge, that no province is having a sitting to deal with final or voting mandate today. They will all deal with it from tomorrow onwards. The other issue is the silence in the Act on exceeding 9 days. It doesn't say what is the consequence or what is the lawful or unlawful status of exceeding 9 days of passing bill. It only indicates that the bill must be passed within 9 days after being referred to a joint committee meeting of the two committees on appropriation. And according to legal advice, the legal advice is that it is to comply with other financial acts, for instance, PFLA and the budgeting process, but it doesn't necessarily negate, or it does not necessarily rule that the process for exceeding 9 days makes the bill unlawful. It's just to comply with other budgetary laws or budgetary processes. So because it's silent, our understanding is that even if it exceeds 9 days, the process will still be lawful. It will still have an impact on the budgetary processes, for instance, the PFNA. That's where it's going to impact. But if we remember correctly, when we dealt with the last bill and we dealt with final meeting, Free State Legislature had not sat to consider or confer on its delegate the final mandate. All provinces had, and we voted using only the 8 final and 40 mandates. The Free State province did not vote on that bill. And in that process also, we dealt with negotiating mandate in the exact same way that we deal with it now. So the negotiating mandate is, I think we order, what we have to wait for is the formal referral from the NA, which is supposed to happen today, and hopefully by the 17th, because the deadline of the 9 days is the 17th of November, that by the 17th of November, all provincial legislatures would have dealt with it in committees, would have tabled it in their respective houses, and then conferred final or voting mandate to the delegates. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Honourable Member, for deliberating on this matter. I think you correct all members who have raised or draw attention to this matter, given the challenges that we have experienced. However, we should insist, I think, as members already pointed out, that we separate negotiating mandates from final mandates.
Yeah.
There are certain requirements as well for final mandates that will have to take shape. Provincial legislatures must mandate the process, must mandate the provinces, and so forth in dealing with this matter. And I've said to members, I want to indicate once more, we will circulate the legal opinion members. I have had a discussion with Advocate Jackson just to clarify broad areas that relate to this process. And I do not think that there is any procedural harm, given that provincial legislatures, alive to the challenges, have submitted negotiating mandates. And here we see that negotiating mandates that the committee can consider, and the issues expressed arising from the consultative process of briefings, the respective processes. So the legal opinion will receive. So song will also shape how we proceed forward in dealing with the process of the final mandate and many other issues. But it's very useful for us to interpret the money bill and find our approaches as we deal with. So my ruling would be that we proceed and issues were quite relevant, they should be raised, and it will be attended to. So let's rather deal with the negotiating mandate, and I'll have the advocate here next to me to read them alphabetically, or the whip normally of the committee does assist in those processes that are not here, the whip will be able to handle such matters. So can we proceed with the mandate? Yes, I recognize the honourable member.
Chair, I have a photocopy of the NA's paper. The Division of Revenue, DORA, is below the line. It is not being discussed. It is not on the order as it was today.
I have taken trouble to clarify myself prior to this meeting, and it was confirmed that it will be tabled tomorrow.
It will be tabled tomorrow.
Yes, so there's no harm. The honourable member has been ordered to invite and has interpreted the webinar. But from the committee secretariat, they said it will be tabled tomorrow.
I hear what you say. Firstly, let me ask, how can a province decide or negotiate a negotiating mandate with public hearings, because that is what is expected of them, as Honourable Veer admitted he has done, and they on the goals that they have not been passed down on us. The NA might change it. So how, if that rule is changed tomorrow, what are you going to do? What process will we then follow? Because once it is handed to us and it has changed, the negotiating mandate, the process must have the right to submit a new negotiating mandate. Am I not clear? And then a legal opinion. How can you have a legal opinion which you are not sharing with us so that we can make an informed decision?
Okay, thanks, Honourable Pandilla. Honourable members, no, I don't want to open-ended discussion on the matter that is so clear. Members have had an opportunity, members of the committee, to go to provinces to bring process. And the 31 members have clarified that on the 4th of November we had a joint committee where the minister table with the Division of Revenue. But the important thing, what provinces are aiming for, is after this meeting, we must give provinces the minutes of this meeting.
Yes. Yes.
Issues that is raised in the consolidation process, whether this thing has considered to be issues factored into the budget process. It's an important thing. Now, you may have missed an opportunity to go to a province, to your province. Understand that so, you may not have been a member to your province. But the process now is where we consider Monday and fair for provinces the minutes of this meeting, the record of this meeting. So let's also, please, starting with the best process of yourself, where you come from the Eastern Cape. Honourable Kaila, do you want to share the negotiating mandate of the Eastern Cape? What the process raised?
Getting rain in the Eastern Cape. My smile.
Even if it's hailed and storm, but welcome anything that brings water down on the ground. Can I tell me? Okay, well,
I just want to check with you again.
At
what point in time, you know, regarding what we're discussing now?
Yeah, what is out of order with others that the first negotiating mandate should be presented to the meeting?
I'd just like to know from you, Chairperson, at what point in time does one get an opportunity, having received these documents right now, does one get an opportunity to read, study the various documents and opinions of the different provinces in terms of amendments, proposals that they are making? At what point in time does one read or study that, having just received it now?
Well, it doesn't impact on the meeting. Can we allow it to proceed to present? Well, all provinces are going to present in this meeting for members to internalize. National Treasury to comment on the issues raised. In that process, even if you take too long to comprehend what Province A is raising, I do not think that this is out of order. You understand the challenges that you are facing. Currently, there is an industrial action here in Parliament. And documents may not have been circulated on time and so forth, but that's not an issue. Documents are available for all members now. And members must not prepare well high on this issue that are before us. So, Honorable Gayela, can you present on these things and what issues are raised? And follow the process alphabetically.
Thank you. The Eastern Cape supports the however, you know, the effort and last process to the region is one of them is that said that they concern about the location of funds for infrastructure because they have two inherited problems and they think they use their local infrastructure. And they continue to position us there. So that's one point in the beginning. The second one was about the salary increment. They've been allocated about 155 million. And according to them, that is not enough to cover the cost of the increment of salary. Most of the according to them, we need a team of 905 million, which they want to get about 400 million more for the land increase. So, this is a very interesting. Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Can I then go to Free State Province of the first Ibom Committee to present? I'm sharing the meeting, I'm just showing you the principle of sharing a successful meeting. Start the things of having a meeting.
Thank you, Chair. As requested by the permanent delegate of the Free State Legislature, who is present in the meeting, I present the negotiating mandate on behalf of the Free State Legislature. They indicated that they vote in favor of the bill. Of course, it is not first, it's not the first time, but the legislature requests a bigger portion of the 193 million from the National Health Grant to be allocated to the Free State Provincial Health Facility Revitalization Grant. They are also concerned about the conversion of indirect conditional grants to direct conditional grants. They also highlight that there needs to be an upward adjustment made to the Comprehensive Agricultural Support Program grant in order to support adequately support the agricultural sector in the Free State. The allocation to basic education should not be adjusted downwards so that Free State can also comply with its nutrition support to learners. And because of the huge unemployment problem in the Free State, public work should not be adjusted downwards because the Free State identifies that EWP creates work opportunities. They also note two issues for indirect grants and request that National Treasury must consider downward adjustments of the Municipal Water Infrastructure Grant and the RDIC because of poor water sanitation infrastructure. There's also severe water shortages, which is not only affecting the Free State, and then they have listed the municipalities that are mostly elected, and that these municipalities must not be penalized due to the inability of national departments responsible for the infrastructure in terms of these grants. Because we would note that these grants are indirect and the responsibility of them would be the national departments. But in this instance, the municipalities are not set up being penalized. And then, I think that's all that the legislature votes on the issue of the indirect grants, but in essence, they do vote in favor of the vote. They vote in favor of the vote. Or negotiate in favor of the vote. That is stated clearly. Thank you. They negotiate in favor.
The Free State votes for progress. Thank you. The province
Okay. Thank you, Jefferson. Just to indicate that the process that the legislature followed is attached with stakeholders making submissions also to the portfolio committee. The legislative notes, the financial implications of the bill, and of course how it has also, like all provinces, the increased wage bill has affected the province especially. EXCO on the Housing Commercial Treasury, EXCO on behalf of EXCO, set aside with the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill because it notes the financial constraints that we are working under and the current financial environment that the country is working under. They note, of course, considerably that conditional grants is going to be reduced to offset unspent grants, and these funds were transferred to provinces in the 2014-15 financial year, but will neither spend nor approve for those offers. They do indicate how how the amount offset against conditional grants due to underspending, and they list the number of grants affected there. I think the most important that is also not for the first time that the legislature for the province notes is the process to look at the equitable share formula, because population versus income, or currently Gauteng is the most densely populated, but it has not necessarily translated in the equitable share formula being adjusted for Gauteng. It's something that is continuously, I think, being raised by Gauteng, they raised again. They also note the same issue as we said on the indirect grants and how they have not been spent correctly and how that adversely affects what happens in the province. With that said, the housing legislature negotiates in favor of the Division of Revenue Amendment.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Can we proceed to KZN, Honorable Minister?
Thank you, Chairperson. But without getting to the nitty-gritty, obviously there are concerns. We are owing the UNAS 2 billion rand. We also not sufficient what we received to mitigate the employee compensation and increment. And having suffered also the migration, and therefore less population numbers, and then you get a reduction. All of those factors do give a challenge, or do place a challenge on the province itself. But however, in black and white, the instruction is that the conference to the delegation is that we support and prepare us to support the bill.
Thanks, Honorable Zimande. Can we go to Limpopo province? Honorable Weep, can you help?
Thank you, Chair. Just to indicate that there's no apologies from the permanent delegate from the Limpopo or representing Limpopo, but the Limpopo legislature did proceed to consider the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. As indicated in the negotiating mandate, they also vote or negotiate in favor of the bill. Thank you, Chair.
Then safe to say that the specific issues that are raised, Honourable Member, you said that you do have copy of all these mandates, National Treasurer. So when you comment, you will comment on issues that are raised. Though not comprehensive, but initial thoughts, comments you can make. You have the report, the book. Okay, you want to take which one? You don't have? Okay. East and West Cape, Western Cape. Instead of last year, then he said. No, as a chair, I don't communicate with him via you, Honorable Parliament. I talk to him directly.
case that once I was to come and, you know,
okay, then Honorable Delbert, I regard the other full member of this committee. Then. Can we help Mpumalanga? Who will come first, know that Mpumalanga is? Honorable Isaac, welcome to indicate the Monday from the forest.
Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. Yeah, when I went to brief the province, a huge matter of discussion in the meeting was primarily based around whether the president is going to get 4 billion jet or not. That is really what the discussion was all about until I had to bring them to order and point out to them what the meeting was all about. So what I think, cut a long story short, Mpumalanga could basically rather tell the entire issue there. Thank you, Chairperson.
Sorry, Chair.
Honorable, can you
indicate
what is the position of Mpumalanga
province?
Mpumalanga
rather stands
in
the
board.
Honorable Mutara?
Okay, I'm just wondering if it is intended to use the word rather stands. There's no process of rather stands. Is it negotiating civil or against the law?
Mpumalanga province supports the decision of revenue. That's what you're saying.
Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Mutara puts on her glasses. I'm sure she will see it in front of her. She can read, surely. Yes, nothing complicated. One paragraph. Thank you.
Well, okay, Honorable Members, Mpumalanga province negotiates in favor. Clearly, from the comments of the member, other issues are unfounded.
Yes.
Then, let's go to Northern Cape.
That person, Northern Cape. Northern Cape votes in favor of the bill, but I sensitize all the members to page 2 of the minutes of the Portfolio Comms and Finance, point 5, inputs by the committee, that the National Treasury must encourage provincial treasuries to assist municipalities in investing in the debt billing systems and drafting relevant legislation. Secondly, municipalities' rates and taxes should be looked into by the National Treasury as they are given less than what is needed. I'm battling to get grip on that one. Attention and priority should be given to municipalities struggling with payment challenges. I think if I can sum up, it is the billing of high municipalities, and secondly, what is the debt collection a strategy to improve their revenue. That is my own summary of that. Thank you, Chair.
That's honorable, Chair. We're now moving to Northwest. Honorable, please.
Thank you, Chair. Just to place on record, there's no apology from the permanent delegate representing the Northwest in the committee. But the provincial legislature did thank their negotiating mandate. In accordance with their negotiating mandate, they indicate that they too vote or negotiate in favor of the Division of Revenue Amendment. Thank you. I do not have the committee report or deliberation, but I think the legislature does. That is the
comments of Northwest. Okay, yes, a couple of comments on Northwest. So, Northwest, is there any comments? Okay, Northwest. Yeah, but it is. There is a harshment. Yeah, that one, Peter. Yes, you are right.
Oh, this page color.
Additional equitable share allocation to provinces, changes to provincial mutual conditional allocation. That's Northwest.
Yeah.
Rescheduling of allocation, okay. Rescheduling of allocation between direct and indirect allocation.
The observations
are not yet.
The observations are not yet. According to what I have here, it's just the attachment of the negotiating mandate. And I'm indicating that
the observations of the committee are not addressed here.
Okay.
I think the negotiating mandate just indicates the process of the division of the hearing and vote.
Alright, no thanks for that. Okay. Can we have the Western Cape program, Honorable Carol Black?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. We received just before we came here, just about 5 minutes before the task, we received, you know, a written close response in writing, and I will ensure that we can also get that. They are not in support of the book, and I'm going to, you know, just highlight a few issues that are raised, and I'm going to read paragraph one. I would like to take the opportunity to once again register Western Cape Provincial Parliament's strongest objection to the program and scheduling of activities concerning our two institutions. And then I'm going on to paragraph 3. Today, as I'm writing this, the schedule has again been changed for the National Assembly, only meeting tomorrow to process the bill, resulting in a further disruption of our program. And I think what is then also important to say for this meeting is the last paragraph, and I'm going to read that once again. I would like to request a meeting with you, that is now directed obviously to the chairperson of the NCP, a meeting with you at a mutually convenient time to discuss my concerns with a view to ensuring that our projects are coordinated with the rest, with the best interest of all concerned. So they are not in support, chairperson. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Carol Blanche, about the Western Cape position on the DORA. Thank you very much, and allow us to give Treasury an opportunity to comment on the issues. Thank you, Treasury.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you, Honorable Members. We received yesterday most of the negotiating mandates, and we've worked through them in detail. And we will liaise with your team after this to get whatever information we don't have as yet. And we will prepare a full set of written responses to all of the recommendations so that the members have the detail. There were quite a few of the provinces that submitted quite detailed comments on specific things relating to a specific grant allocation to their province. And I think in our responses, my colleague, Demetrio Borgo, and myself, we'll try and respond on the kind of broader issues that affect several provinces where similar things affect. So I'm going to ask Demetrio to explain to you a bit more about the offsetting of grants, because that came up several times, and I'm also going to ask her to explain to you about or comment on how the addition to the provincial equitable share were made. Because I think that's an important thing that came up from several provinces. I'll then talk to some of the issues around the indirect grants and the changes there, as well as the issues around the billing systems that were raised in the Northern Cape and then the local government allocation. But there may be something.
Thank you,
Honourable
Members. So the one recommendation that came across from all the negotiating mandate that we got all around the wage increments not being up. So, as you all are aware, the wage agreement happened and it came in higher than what was budgeted for all provinces. We calculated the shortfall of that, given what, if we apply the increases to every line item for compensation of employees, that shortfall for all provinces came to 8.9 billion. However, our contingency reserve was 5 billion, and that's excluding, that 8.9 billion excludes what national also have to carry and bail. But what was, I guess, workshopped with and presented at budget council was that in the province of Sydney, it's about 7% of that shortfall, which is in total, I think, 12.2 billion, we'll find a way to give more of the 5 billion contingency to provinces. And that's what happened. So that 5 billion, 3.8 billion was allocated to provinces. And then what was done was at the time of when the agreement came through, we looked at the headcount across all provinces to see which ones are the most labor intensive and that would become to health and education. And given those, we then split the 3.8 billion across provinces, and that's how we came up with those numbers. So it's not, given the fact that our contingency reserve is 5 billion and just the shortfall of provinces is 8.9, it was impossible to cover the cost and shortfall for all provinces.
and it is presented to the budget council and the Ministry of Finance. I guess what they acknowledge is that we're coming and crying about the pension role, and there were, but it's the best that we could do given the resources we have at hand. So that's the first issue. The issue about the offspring, it really is that in 2014-15, some applications went through for rollovers for money that wasn't, and some were approved, some were not approved. And what would have happened in the past is that what is not approved technically cuts back treasury. But that might have been transferred to the to come back to the National Revenue Fund. This case has decided that, and it's part of the DORA clause, I think, section 22, that instead of cutting the check back to National Treasury, keep the money, and money that we're going to transfer to you for 2015-16 will hold back the difference. So the money, almost like the part of the money for 2015 allocation, which is sitting in the bank account of provinces, so they need to transfer that. So the actual grant amount for 2015-16 allocation for programs doesn't change. It's the amount that it changes, that it changes between bank accounts that changes. So the money that goes towards that sitting in for 2015-16 remains unchanged. But it seems that it looks like what we're transferring smaller, therefore what you have delivered service is smaller, but it's not actually the fact that part of that money is already sitting in the bank account, so therefore it's less. Just to make sure that we don't overgive for 2015-16, that's what you're cutting a check. So we could cut a check, but in the end, it's zero sum, which is what we're trying to achieve. I hope that addresses the issue. Thank
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a reduction in the allocations, but it actually shouldn't impact the delivery from that grant because the money is already with the bottom. There were several comments from provinces around the size of local government allocations to municipalities in their province, from the Eastern Cape comments around the infrastructure backups in homeland. There were comments from the Free State around specific municipalities that they were concerned about, and I think also comments from Limpopo in their detailed submission which members had. I think there are several important points to note here. The one is that we are in the process of phasing in a new equitable share formula for local government, and that new equitable share formula is much more redistributive than the previous equitable share formula. So with the previous equitable share formula, get smaller allocations to poorer, more rural municipalities on a per capita basis. The new equitable share formula gives larger per capita allocations to smaller and more rural municipalities. That new formula, because it makes the significant changes, is being phased in over a five-year period, and the full impact when it's fully phased in will only be seen in 2017-18. So we're on that transitional path. There are more resources in those municipalities. With regards to the infrastructure backlog, the allocation mechanism for infrastructure grants is based primarily on the extensive backlogs in each province. So on the municipal infrastructure grants, the regional bulk infrastructure grants, and the international electrification program, the three biggest infrastructure grants to non-metro municipalities. The calculation of those allocations is based primarily on the extensive backlog. The areas that have high levels of backlog receive higher allocations. As a result of that, over half of all infrastructure funds in the local government portion of the Division of Revenue are allocated to the 27 RRC district municipalities. So most of our money goes into those places. The speed at which backlogs are reduced is something that we're concerned about, as some of the committees have expressed concern. There are several issues there, and some of them have to do with procurement issues in municipalities. Something we're trying to address through the local government infrastructure grants review. Some of them have things to do with the structure of the grants and the kind of rules around those grants. A lot of it has to do with infrastructure that's been rolled out that isn't working, so people have a pipe but they don't have water, and again, something that the infrastructure grant review is making changes to the rules around grants to try and address that. We're also aware that in some sectors the infrastructure, the kind of low-hanging fruits have already been plucked. So especially in the electrification program, a lot of the easy connections have already been done, and the program is now having to move into more rural areas where you have to have much longer high voltage cables, you have to set up these substations, so it becomes more expensive, so the number of households connected each year starts to decline as we engage in those more expensive programs. On the indirect grants that were changed in this year's version of revenue amendments bill, there were reductions on two indirect water grants. Those reductions were made after significant underspending on those same grants in the previous year. In the committees that I attended, in the provincial legislative hearings that I attended, there was really strong feeling about that failure of delivery, especially on the part of the national department responsible for implementing those grants. And from National Treasury side, I mean, we share that frustration, and from the side of the Department of Water and Sanitation as well. No one is satisfied with that situation in which significant amounts of money go underspent. And the measures are being put in place to correct that. They're not fully in place this year, and will affect it in what itself this year, which is why amounts will have to be reduced from those grants in year. But reducing those amounts allowed us to shift those amounts to be used elsewhere in the adjustment budget, but relieve some of the pressure elsewhere rather than leaving the amounts to be unspent. But I think it's important to emphasize that we're also trying to, a lot of the shifts in the grants are shifts between different projects. So moving money away from projects where there's been delays, and there are delays in those projects for a huge variety of reasons, including legal challenges, procurement problems, etc. Things that do happen in complex infrastructure programs, and so the shifting of money will actually help to ensure improved expenditure, because we're shifting from places where money won't be spent to places where money will be spent, and then. On the issues around billing systems that were raised in the Northern Cape, those are issues where again Treasury shares the concerns of the committee. In many cases, it's not so much the billing system in terms of the IT infrastructure that causes the problem. It's more around the management of those billing systems. So it's about how municipalities write their policies and whether they actually implement those policies. And there is a very clear set of guidelines that set out in the Municipal Structures Act, and the Municipal Systems Act, that set out what a municipality's responsibilities are and how they need to go about collecting, setting cost-reflective tariffs and then collecting on those. And National Treasury and Provincial Treasuries are working with municipalities, and we should provide support to municipalities, and we'll provide more information on that in our written responses. We are also, as members are well aware, very concerned about municipalities that have failed to pay amounts that they owe, and we are engaging with all of the municipalities that were affected by the withholding of the equitable share that was taken as a measure towards addressing that. So I think those comments cover the broad areas, Chair, that were raised, and we will respond in detail on each of the specific items in written input.
Thank you very much, National Secretary, for this preliminary response. As you said, we will receive a document to take into this as a committee member for the internalized issues that are raised, and also for further probing with provinces. These are useful issues that are raised regarding the division of revenue, because they help us also to identify areas of limitations. As you say, for example, Nikita will share some improvements on the formula, how provinces relate to it. And we find this is a common issue raising a number of municipalities. And to the extent FSC at some point, Mark and try to emphasize their standing on the Nikita will share formula. How rural processes and benefit. So I think we'll deal with the issues as such, and thanks for the responses. Unless a specific matter members want to clarify, is there any specific issue you want to take up with National Treasury? Honorable Sir?
Thank you for the opportunity again. I just wanted to point out to you, our colleague from the National Treasury raised the issue on rollovers. And I understood or grasped from you that the funds were not taken back. Obviously, probably the volunteers were asked to keep them, and obviously these monies would then be taken back on the allocation going forward. I'm not sure how, I realize that, you know, this is a system in terms of infrastructure, backlogs, etc. But does it not open up a huge issue in terms of fruitless and wasteful expenditure? Because it will always create a cash flow problem. Now, if you give me money in advance, and you're going to take it off in my next salary, I'm obviously going to, from a cash flow point of view, I'm going to struggle because my overheads and my expenses are obviously not coming down. They're continuously, there, and I'm having to live in contain with them. So I just wanted to get a grasp on that rollover issue about problems not having to return those monies. Is there a comment for you, close? Thank you.
Chairperson, I also have a question in relation to the same issue, and I was, maybe I didn't follow properly. What I gathered is that you are saying that there obviously is a shortfall, but you haven't made available an additional amount. That is something that I need to clarify. And what I gathered is that you indicated that apparently on the under expenditure or stuff like that, the shortfall was sort of taken care of. I was just wondering, is it possible that can be applicable, over non-provinces, that, that seems to be good to be true, if I understood correctly. And maybe I just need some clarification on that. Thank you. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Honorable Pandya.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Please refer to the process of the equitable share formula, the new formula. But this formula has been in place for, this is the third year, because it will have a full impact in 2017, which means it's our third year in operation. So it's not a new formula anymore. I would like to give people hope that it's the existing formula, because already this committee has been tasked to come up with a new formula that will make up for the poorer municipalities that need money. So this is not a new, it's an existing one. In the case of the indirect grant and the water grant, and the failure of the National Department to deliver, what can be done in that regard? How can that be addressed when a national government fails and the people on the ground are suffering? How? Other than make money available, is there any other way in which it can be addressed?
Thank you, Honorable
Chair. Chairperson, it's a very relevant question. But I think we as members must again go back to the documents of the FSC where they made specific recommendations. The FSC is one of the stakeholders engaged in this review of the equitable share formula itself. So it's an ongoing exercise. When they address us as FSC, on the Division of Revenue 2016-17, I think they referred to this. So I think we must go and do some more homework ourselves. It's addressed there. It's also addressed by the Minister in his reply to the questions, of not the questions, the recommendations that comes from this committee. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Marushal, Treasury. Now, yes. So, yes, you are done. So. respond.
Okay, so I'll take honorable desires and I apologize if I'm saying anything wrong. Exactly. Ever.
We are on the rising. Yeah.
So on the issue of the rollovers, and I get what you're saying about all we're giving, I'm going to be giving money up front. But legally, that money that wasn't approved for rollover is sitting in the account. And the provinces are not allowed to touch that money. That money is supposed to come back to us. But they cannot plan on that money. But they will plan on the payment schedules and the tranches that are going to the bill for 2015-16. That's what they must know. So, you know, paying salary all at the time, into account that when you then. So there isn't, it's the cost of spending that money thinking, oh no, so I shouldn't know that price. That is actually, that's breaking the law. And previously, like, you know, you would have cut this. Some of like now we're putting to the forefront what was being done and look on the back end. So there is actually not a, well, I mean, there's always people before expenditure, you know, has to be, I mean, proof of expenditure that has to be curved on one end. But in terms of actually planning on that money, that and spending that money, that would actually be in contravention of legislation inside the province's budget. I don't think that addresses your question.
No, Treasury will continue responding and there will be a follow-up. Keep cool now. Keep cool now. There's still a process of responses. No, don't spend so much.
There isn't a cash flow problem because there isn't a cash flow implication because the fund already retained in the province. So the funds, which I think goes to also answering your question, that the funds are there at a fund estimated that cannot easily be spent because there are additional funds. And so they either have to be paid back to the Treasury, paid back to the National Revenue Fund, not the Treasury, sorry. That have been paid back to the National Revenue Fund, or they can be offset against a future transfer. And in this year, we've just done the offsetting against a future transfer. It is a little bit, the maths are a little bit confusing because it's across 2 years and what have you, but it's all been engaged on with provinces and it's well understood in the system with the provincial treasuries and departments. Around the equitable share, I was given under advisement that we shouldn't refer to the new equitable share, the current equitable share formula. Thank you. On the failure of a national department to deliver, that is a question where the national department needs to improve its performance. The National Treasury provides advice and assistance in that regard. And we try to assist the national department in doing that. In the case of the national department, it is very willing and engaging on that, but it is ultimately up to the national department and the accounting office of that department to make those changes necessary to make that improvement. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Oh, Mr. Respond, want to respond? Okay, no, thank you very much for that policy. Let me say, members, let's have the document Treasury and National Treasury to have this policy. The full policy, they will help us keep contact in many ways. So in the next meeting today, the other areas will always allow this interaction on this important matter. I think I like the enthusiasm of which members are engaging in the division of the group. This is a very important piece of the issue.
Yes.
So we need really to volunteer to discuss things and then after National Treasury responded, I want an indication by show and formal approval of the negotiation mandate by the committee.
indicate the total amount of mandates received, those in favor, those against, so that we can, so that that's what we move to.
All right, I'll have the bookkeeper here to indicate. Yeah. Not respecting me on record, but eight in favor and one again. Yes, Honorable Dal. Okay. Okay, that's how we say conclude. Okay. Honorable member. I'll come. No. Maybe we didn't follow. I said further deliberations on this matter may follow, not now, because they have responded to issues. What is left now is for us to look into the responses that National Treasury is preparing, which will be further elaboration of issues out of this interaction. They may be in for quite not procedure and cover those issues. So you may be provided with clarity. But should none exist, we will discuss it in other forums, because we don't really. It's not a book yet, but in the meeting, unfortunately, I have to lead into another item. So, thank you for that, for understanding procedural when I desire for that meeting. So, we are fully approved the division of revenue so that the negotiating mandate, it is a formal approval of the negotiating mandate by way of initiating three provinces in favor and one province. Not in favor. However, we have had a very productive discussion, and I want to thank members for having set time aside to go to provinces, to brief provinces, of course, together with National Treasury. And this is proving to be a very successful exercise. Now, I want to indicate, to bring to attention, honorable members, we are proposing that the next committee meeting be on Thursday. You'll note that the meeting was scheduled for tomorrow. Yeah, it was for tomorrow for date. But precisely because we're dealing with final mandates, that must allow the process for legislation to have their sitting and to confer the final voting mandate. So we're proposing that we reschedule our meeting for Thursday at 4:30. And we will communicate with relevant authorities to allow for members of the committee to attend such a meeting. So this is what really want to put before you.
Did it die?
Half past four, probably same thing. It looks like this is a venue set aside for location. So tell the honorable members, formal communication will always come. No, thanks, Honorable members, if you agree. Honorable Van Gillian, you wanted to, by delegating Honorable Isakna?
Well, listen, I am not delegating. He said he wanted to speak long before I want to ask.
Oh, you're acting on his behalf.
I was not acting on his behalf, and I was not trying to insult.
Okay.
I wanted to ask National Treasury a question after they made clear what they think should have been answered to the final the negotiating mandate. And I wanted to question them on the procedure as well, because they didn't address the procedure, and they are National Treasury. And whether they are happy and whether they can come up.
I understand what you wanted to raise, and that was really way out of order.
You would consider it out of order because you are not prepared.
Thank you very much, Honorable Padigian. Your visit today was very welcomed by the committee. However, you continue to come and continue to clarify you as members of the committee how you want the business to be conducted. Thanks very much.
Thank you, sir.